Welcome to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
Is the problem of plenty applicable to equity funds? That's kind of what we're going to be exploring today on Smart Investing. Welcome back to our podcast series, everybody. Ahalya here, keeping you company for a short little while before Ravi and Lisa, as always, take the conversation further and really help us with some critical knowledge that we need to guide us in our investment journey. So yes, today, the topic of conversation is how can we as investors make the right choices when it comes to picking the best equity funds for our portfolios and for our unique investment needs. It's going to be a very interesting conversation, and trust me, you want to take down some notes because it's kind of like one of those manuals you want to keep handy, you know, just in case you forget a step or two. Well, you've always got the podcast. Handing over the mic to Ravi and Lisa now. Stay tuned. This is Smart Investing, brought to you by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
Thanks, Ahalya, and welcome to yet another episode of Smart Investing. In life, we are inundated with choices, whether it's the choice of clothes, the color and the brand of cars, perfumes, the list can go on. Clearly, there's a wide variety of options available today, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. Similarly, we have a wide variety of investment options within the mutual fund industry. And in this episode, we are going to discuss how and we can select the right equity mutual fund for one's portfolio from the 11 categories that exist. So we have with us Lisa to talk about this important topic today. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to Smart Investing Podcast.
Hi, Ravi. Thanks for having me again.
So Lisa, I'm sure you're aware there are multiple equity fund categories. So exactly, there are 435 open-ended actively managed funds across 11 categories as of February. And this can be a staggering choice for investors, you know, across 11 categories, and there are multiple asset managers to choose from. So what do you make all of this? You know, how do investors begin?
It is a staggering choice. And these are just the active funds. There are also like 250 plus equity oriented funds in the index and the exchange traded fund category combined together. And that's, you know, as of Feb end. These are also equity funds, and active and passive pure equity funds manage close to 30 lakh crore of assets. To add to that, we are seeing continuous launch of new funds across categories. Personally, though, I think choice is good. It's like, well, with anything you buy, right? Let's say biscuits, because, you know, they're like the simplest example that we can have. You have biscuits from different manufacturers. You have a variety of categories like cookies. There are cream biscuits. There is no sugar biscuits. There are digestive biscuits, chocolate. You also have a choice of the manufacturer. You have a choice of the price point you want to buy it at. And nowadays, there are homemade options, and then there are bakery biscuits. You get the general idea, right? There is a plethora of choice available. And yet, as individuals, we are able to filter through and get the ones we like. And seemingly, every manufacturer or even home baker has a market. Now, in no way am I comparing financial securities to biscuits. But the human beings who buy both these products are driven by similar behaviors, whether it's biscuits or funds. They want the variety. Just one type becomes too boring. They want to try the new flavor, and hence, despite the choice, new fund offers find buyers even if a similar product exists. They pick favorites and start to become loyal over time, but eventually get bored and add a new fund or try out, you know, a new biscuit, for example. So I guess what I'm saying is that the choice is imperative. It will be there in any free and open market structure, regardless of whether it is financial securities or food that's being sold.
I think that's a very good observation that you brought, that as human beings, we always want to try some new things. But when it comes to buying a biscuit, there's no harm. You know, you can just have and maybe try something else next time. But when it comes to choosing a fund, maybe it has a lock-in and, you know, you invest in it, it's not the same. It can be really harmful for your financial health. So
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot more important to pay attention to the equity fund you're investing in compared to the biscuit you're buying, right? Firstly, one of the main objectives of investing is to secure your future financial well-being. Now, if you consistently end up making wrong choices and investing in poor quality funds, the consequences are very high. you stand, you know, to make losses maybe, or in the least, you will be underperforming the peer set and the benchmark. And despite that, you will be paying an annual fees for being invested in that fund. So you may realize that performance is lagging only after a year or two, and even then you decide to give it some more chance and stay invested for another couple of years. So by the time you figure out that this is not the fund for you, you've already lost like 3-4 years worth of premium return, which you could have gotten in another fund. Secondly, you may have important goals linked to investments, and missing those goals because of poor selection of the fund can cause a lot of anxiety. This is not, you know, a good place to be in. What this means is that the choice you make in case of equity mutual funds has to be well researched. The same impulsive behavior and action that you apply to buying, you know, biscuits will not work here.
Yeah, right. That's a very important point that you brought in. When you're buying any consumer durable products, say a car or something else, you do a lot of research, you check with your friends, you go online and, you know, compare products. But you don't do the same kind of research when you're, you know, buying a financial product. You just go by hearsay or something you hear on the TV or something your friend recommends. So you just go and invest. So I think people have to do a lot of research when they're buying financial products also, right? So how does one begin? What's the starting point, Lisa?
So let's begin with understanding that when it comes to financial products, and specifically like equity funds, they serve the purpose of creating long-term wealth. And you need to be invested for at least 7 to 8 years or more to see that compounding of returns and to see your wealth growing. The longer you're invested, the better. So that's really a starting point. Choices of the exact scheme will now depend on two things mainly. Firstly, the investing experience you already have, and secondly, your risk-taking ability. So if you are a first-time investor in the market and, you know, you're looking for market-linked investments like equity mutual funds, let's say you're moving from traditional fixed deposits, bank fixed deposits, and you're ready to take kind of that calculated risk in equities, and you have understood that you need to remain invested for a long time, ideally, you shouldn't get too adventurous in the start with various categories available and stick to what we call blue chips, which can be through either large cap active funds or through exchange traded funds or index funds, which are linked to the highest capitalization benchmarks like Nifty 50 or Sensex. So for a new investor, understanding risk is really the first step. And one can build experience in the lowest risk categories of equity funds. And then you slowly start to look at the other categories and add them on in the coming years.
Yeah, right. So there are, you know, 11 categories of equity funds. So how does one investor determine which risk profile suits him or her? So if someone wants to add a new fund in the category, so how does one go about it?
Yeah, good question, Ravi. It is difficult, isn't it, when you are faced with 11 categories? Well, a thumb rule, I guess one can use is to say that funds which invest in stocks that are at the top of the market, like highest market capitalization, which is what we just spoke about as well, have the maximum information available in the public domain. They are industry leaders. And these are equity funds which are at the lower end, like I said, of the equity risk spectrum. So they invest in stocks which represent the largest companies in the country, and hence, thanks to the information symmetry in the market, they carry relatively lower risk. So that's your starting point. Another way to filter out categories themselves is to look at the more diversified categories. The more specific a mandate of a category is, the smaller its universe of shares that it can pick from. And hence it becomes very concentrated because, you know, you don't have that much choice when you're building the portfolio. And thus, you know, we say that the risk can be quite high. So first off, categories like large cap funds, both active and passive, large and mid cap funds, flexi cap funds, multi cap funds, and even equity linked savings schemes, which are your, you know, tax saving schemes, can be ideal because they are highly diversified and they do tend to invest higher portion of the portfolio in these blue chips and, you know, large market capitalization stocks. Now, the more specific it gets, like your small cap funds or your sector funds or value funds and focused funds, the riskier it gets because they are looking at a very narrow mandate of investing. Hence, the diversified categories are perhaps the primary ring of selection. Then come the others with a more specific mandate. In fact, funds in a very narrow universe of selection, like sector funds, you know, there are dividend yield funds. These can perhaps be relegated to a tertiary level of selection to be invested in only by the most experienced long-term investors. Now, within the categories that suit you, once you've arrived at, you know, the categories that suit you, pick not more than maybe three categories and then move forward to picking one fund in each of the categories. Now, each equity mutual fund scheme has 25, 50, 60 or even more stocks. Adding funds mindlessly is futile as there can be a lot of overlaps in the portfolios, right? If one scheme has 50 stocks, another may have another 50, so there will be overlaps. Even for every incremental investment you make, you needn't pick a new scheme. Use the ones you have already identified if they still fit the bill and, you know, the purpose for which you are investing.
Yeah, absolutely right, Lisa. To begin with, investors should go for, you know, diversified kind of funds. But even when selecting within one category, say large cap, so there are 31 large cap funds. So how does one go about it? Simply go with the best performing fund, or what would you like to tell investors about this?
Yeah, honestly, it's not an easy task, I would say. And while most people do begin with return, I would suggest that one can build a structure and move forward, because return is not the only criteria. Within a category that you may have selected, if you're not so savvy with going through the stocks in the portfolio and all of that, then first checkpoint may be your assets under management, which is basically the size of the scheme. You want a fund which is not too large and which is not too small. So like a Goldilocks in a sense. The largest schemes in the category do sometimes struggle with deploying money gainfully because of, you know, the size, and returns can also get impacted. But these are the most popular. The smallest ones may be too new, or at the very least are not the most popular. And, you know, there could be a valid reason for that. It could be underperformance, for example. Hence, rather than looking for the largest fund, look for funds which are large enough to be part of the top quartile. Top quartile means the top, you know, 25% within a category. So if a category has, say, 100 schemes, then, you know, you want to stick to the top 25, which also gives you a, you know, wide variety. You must look at some of the softer aspects as well after this filter, like the asset manager's risk process, the length of the time that the fund manager has been managing the scheme, their stock selection philosophy, how aligned are they with the underlying benchmark of the scheme, and so on. So how do you assess all this information? You know, this is often available as commentary in the monthly fact sheet of the fund house. So every month the fund house releases a fact sheet. If you're going to start investing by yourself and start selecting schemes, you have to be sure to track this monthly fact sheet commentary and the details that are there in the fact sheet. Then there is the, you know, annual cost or the expense ratio, which also you must look out for, because you don't want to invest in the most expensive scheme in the peer set. So by now you may have been able to narrow down to say 2 to 4 schemes in each category after looking at all these details, and, you know, whatever suits you the best. Make sure that the fund is not fresh off the block and has had a minimum of say 3 to 5 years or so in performance history that you can look at. And then the last thing to look out for is return.
Yeah, absolutely. Return is a tough one, Lisa. Now, there are so many time periods available, so many ways to dissect return. And then you spoke of behavior also. The difficult behavior is to go for the highest return scheme. And that's what has been happening lately. You know, investors are chasing the best performing funds, the kind of inflows that we have seen in the small and mid cap category. So what would be your advice to investors when it comes to, you know, looking at returns?
Yeah, Ravi. So, you know, chasing return is like age-old human behavior, but that's not what we need. What we do need is consistency. We need the ability to move, you know, with great agility across time periods of market stress and market euphoria. And just like with the size, let's not look for the highest return. Rather, we need to look for funds which consistently show up again in the top quartile or top 25% of the category across returns in different time periods. So you have to analyze returns at different time periods and see who is consistently showing up in the top quartile, or which fund rather. Now, here is where it gets quite tricky for individual investors. How do you measure return, right? Should you look at 1 year return or 5 year return or 10 year return, and from which date onwards? Ideally, for selecting equity funds for long-term investing, one needs to look at no less than 3 years. The longer the better, but no less than 3 years. 3, 5, 10 plus years performance is what you need to evaluate. That too, it's not return on a particular date. So, you know, you're not looking at 3 year return, today. The 3 year return every day for the past, say, 2 years, this is a concept called rolling return, and it can show consistency in performance very well. So when you look at the 3 year return every day for the past 2 years or 1 year, we call it rolling return. The rolling 3, 5, 10 year plus returns for the last, you know, say 2, 3 years, that's the key for fund selection. You look at performance in the best market periods and the worst market periods also. So you take out these sub periods in the last 3, 5 years when the market was really euphoric and going up, or when the market was correcting very severely, and look at how the fund has performed there. This will give you a sense of whether the fund is able to protect the downside fall in their own price as well as the market has, or has it performed worse than the market, and vice versa when the market is rallying. A scheme that falls consistently more than its market benchmark when there is a correction is a risky scheme. So risk of volatility is there in every equity scheme. The question is whether you can stomach that extreme volatility when the market is correcting and your scheme is falling even more. With risk, it's important to see how much of the fall you are comfortable with, even though the scheme might make it up when the market is rallying. If you can't stomach the downside risk, behavior is such that you simply sell and not be around to see the upside return. Pick schemes which are not too extreme in returns during market corrections and rallies. They are easier to manage when it comes to emotions and behavior.
Yeah, absolutely, Lisa. The very important point that you brought on is that look at the downside protection of schemes. And what we have seen is that investors have only seen good returns. You know, they have not experienced the downside or downfall in the market. So for lay investors who do not understand all this, what would be your advice to them? I mean, making this kind of analysis would be tough, right?
Yeah, undoubtedly, it is very tough. There are several ways to analyze and dissect a fund, you know, including scrutinizing the portfolio, which we had spoken about earlier. The good thing about mutual fund investing is that information about your scheme is vast and available to you very easily online. All the return, risk, portfolio details are published every month. But for those who are not inclined or savvy enough in numbers to do this, there are two options. Option one, get a SEBI registered investment advisor to help you. And number two, you could, if you don't get an advisor, stick to passive funds where you are simply mirroring the market benchmark index, and there is no need to compare funds or pick one when it comes to passive funds, because there's no fund manager involved in, you know, constructing a portfolio, etc. You get passive funds which track different indices, begin with the largest market cap index, and then work your way lower to mid and small cap ones as you gain experience. There are also specific factor-based indices which have funds modeled on them. These are like your thematic equity funds, and the more experienced investors can then pick funds from this bouquet as well if they don't have an advisor. The other advantage of passive equity funds is that cost is relatively low and doesn't eat into the returns that you finally make. So those are your two choices, really. If you can't do all the work yourself, then you have to get an advisor, or your other option is to stick to passive funds.
Yeah, right, Lisa. I think the way forward for investors could be, you know, have a mix of both active and passive funds. And, you know, when it comes to building your financial portfolio and your goals, it's always advisable to take the help of a financial advisor. So that's a whole lot of homework for investors to do. And why not, as you said, investing in a mutual fund scheme for the long term and for wealth creation is not the same as buying food or biscuits. So you owe it to yourself to give it the due thought and time as the decision requires. So don't hurry, and if you feel overwhelmed with the choice, the work you need to do, get an advisor to help you out. So as we wrap up this discussion, I would like to sum up some of the filters while picking up equity funds. So diversify across large, mid and small cap schemes as per your risk appetite. Invest across different fund houses and fund managers so that you get a diversification of style across fund managers, because each fund manager has a unique way of managing your scheme. You need to always invest across different styles like value, momentum and growth. And finally, try not to invest in too many schemes within the same category. So you may not get the benefit of diversification by simply adding more schemes within the category. So that's all for today. And we hope our listeners got some fresh insights. Thank you, Lisa, once again for sharing your inputs. And we'll see you in the next episode of Smart Investing.
Thanks, Ravi, for having me. And as you rightly said, one has to do their homework. And the filters you've shared, I'm sure, will help people out in that respect.
I don't know about you, but I definitely made notes, because like I said, this was very much like one of those handy manuals that you want to keep by your side. I know that investing can be a very exciting journey, but sometimes very daunting. It can get a bit confusing. So I think this was a very useful conversation, no matter where you are in your investment journey. And like you know, we always bring you useful conversations on this series. We'll be back very soon with another podcast. But in the meantime, soak up all the goodness from this one. Stay safe, stay happy, and happy investing.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You are listening to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.